Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's sci-fi and squeeze, Jim, but not as we know it.
On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-fi and squeam.
On Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Sci-fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Yes, it's a great evening it is tonight. It's going to be quite another packed and full show, of course, here on Joy 94.9. And I want to welcome Bailey O'Neill back with the A to Z.
Hello, thank you.
You're back tonight, which is great. And we've got a full show, like I mentioned. I want to thank the guys from Stand Up Straight for also an awesome show, Michelle and Sarah, and all their friends and guests, of course, in the studio tonight. Now, tonight, we're calling it Blood and Bones. Just happened to work out that way, but you'll know in a minute why I've said that. Now, that track we heard at the intro was The Bird with the Crystal Plumage by Ennio Morricone, and it's got a bit of a giallo bent to it, of course. That will also be revealed in the show. But tonight we've got some very special guests live in the studio, in fact, and that is a pair, not just one, but two. We get two for the price of one tonight on Sci-Fi and Squeam, and that is the Cairns brothers here from, well, they're going to talk about something called 100 Bloody Acres. They're a marvellous film that is going to be doing the rounds shortly. So I want to welcome both of you, Colin and Cam.
Thanks for having us, Sonia. Thank you, Bailey.
Good.
Welcome.
And Bailey's going to be doing the A to Z later on. What are you doing? The letter?
We're up to I, I think.
I.
Yeah.
I
it's been a while.
It has been a while. Hopefully people haven't forgotten. Not.
Nope, I nearly did.
I for international or internationale or something. So you'll be recommending what people should watch if they're getting into some so-called foreign films.
Yep, I reckon so.
Cool. And we also have an interview with Michelle Carey. Now, she's the artistic director of something called MIFF. That is the Melbourne International Film Festival that's starting very, very soon, in a week or so, in fact. Like I mentioned, we've got A to Z. We've also got a review of the latest James Wan film, The Conjuring, which is due out this Thursday the 19th. No, make that the 18th. And finally, Woman in Sci-Fi returns. It's back with part three about women in sci-fi movies from the 1950s, which reminds me of what Jerry at reception is wearing. He's wearing the Gort outfit. It's not very feminine, but it is Gort from The Day the Earth Stood Still. No. Of course it is.
He's very shiny tonight.
He's very shiny. He might have trouble picking up the phone, but you can call us if you have a 1950s favourite sci-fi film that has a female lead protagonist in it. Give us a call on 1300 Joy 949, or you can SMS us 0427 Joy 949, or email on air at joy.org.au. So there's been a lot of things going on in the genre geek zone. We've had Oz Comic Con last week. We've got PAX this week coming up. For those who don't know, it's Penny Arcade, the huge video games exposition. And also then, obviously, MIFF's the week after that. But let's talk to the Cairns brothers, who are in the studio now.
Right now.
100 Bloody Acres.
Yes.
Down to the blood and bones of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Colin, can you tell our listeners, for those who are totally unaware, what 100 Bloody Acres is all about?
I was dreading this question.
All right, we'll move to your your bro
let's
there.
Have a crack. We can work on the, work
you
on
can
us
have
together.
Fill in the gaps if
we'll collaborate as we are, you know, prone to do. Yeah. 100 Bloody Acres is it's the feel good horror comedy of the year, Sonia.
Oh, right, okay.
100 Bloody Acres is about two brothers, funnily enough. Very autobiographical piece, clearly. Two brothers, Reg and Lindsay Morgan, played by Angus Sampson and Damon Herriman, who run a struggling blood and bone fertiliser business somewhere out in the bush.
This is all organic, though. Organic.
Oh, organic. Important to
mention. They pride themselves on their organic blend.
Well, they use mostly organs,
mostly
don't they?
Organs, yeah.
They've kind of, but they've recently stumbled upon a wonderful new ingredient to their fertilizer blend, and that just happens to be the remains of human roadkill. But the film starts with Reg, the younger, more put upon of the brothers, stumbling upon three 20-somethings lost in the bush on their way to a Meredith-like music festival, and cars broken down, and Sonia's lost something, and I'm really concerned for there. You're going to be okay?
I'm going to be okay.
And but yeah, so these three guys on their way to this festival get lost in the bush, picked up by Reg, who sees this as a business opportunity. He can actually take them back to the plant and run them through the grinder. He does that in the process, kind of raises the ire of his big brother Lindsay, and it becomes
and forms an attachment to one of the captives, which sort of makes things a little complicated.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, because they're so different. They are like blood and bone or chalk and cheese. These two. You've got Lindsay's the big. I mean, Angus Sampson. Mm. The name fits him so well, doesn't it?
Yes.
He's big and brawny. He's a sizable chunk of a guy. And then you've got Damien. He's like, more slighter,
not quite
sort
as
of
big.
Less aggressive, I would say. Yeah. And he has a bit of a passion for someone very famous. I mean, Rebecca. We won't give away too much, but someone called Rebecca we know in Australian television culture.
Someone that audiences will certainly recognise when she makes her very special and somewhat shocking cameo about three-quarters of the way in. Yes.
Now, I spoke to you last year, actually, Colin, and Rebecca was cool about that, was she? Or did she know?
Rebecca was... she did. We had to... We had to run it past her and her people, and they were fine. Flattered, I would say.
Oh, it's the best form of flattery, I'm sure. But you have to see the movie to know the scene. And
we won't give away exactly what happens with Rebecca, but she certainly... receives
she's adored
bit of love from Reg in his way.
Now, so a lot has happened in a year, pretty much, since the first. You were in the night shift program, which they have every year for Myth, and that went just so well, certainly put you guys on the map. So since then, where has 100 bloody ages
been? We've been waiting for tonight, really. we've come full circle talking to you again, and the film's out. Well, we've been. Look, we've been working on some other projects, but we've certainly 100 Bloody Acres has had its sort of a festival life the last 6 months or so. It's played in Europe, and it's got some festivals to come in Europe. And the film was released about 2 weeks ago in the States, so we went over
that.
Got released on 15 screens, through a distribution company called Music Box, and is also on VOD now in the States. So it's kind of out there, and people are starting to watch it and saying really nice things about it. The reviews have been
really good
in the States.
Because they love their, without giving too much away, they love their gore. They love a bit of horror.
Yeah, there's a big audience for it over there.
Horror slash comedy.
Well, no, I think there is a big audience for it over here. We just don't get to see them.
It's getting bigger.
There's a struggle there, but it's happening, I think.
Seems to be percolating
through, or percolating upwards, hopefully.
Yes.
Now, with 100 Bloody Acres, you're going to be at the Nova doing a Q&A, I think. Isn't that right?
That's correct. On the 23rd. Which is a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Tickets are selling fast. It's next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Yeah. So we'll be there with, I was going to say Lindsay and Reg.
Yes, they're going to come in character, those two.
In character, looking for some fresh roadkill. So it should be a pleasant
Or evening. Looking for a bath, because there is a lot of makeup in that. Now, we've had in the studio, actually, Justin Dix, of course. You would know Justin from The Wicked Oz, that wonderful special effects and makeup crew, and he's just got his own film out there now, Crawl Space.
Yes, that's right.
Now, he was telling us about that marvellous prop, which, without giving too much away, it's a one-shot wonder, really, isn't it?
It is.
Whose idea was for some of these very interesting
Well, you know, you make a horror film, you've always got to come up with clever ways of doing people in.
True. There's always got to be a twist.
And, look, I think... In the end, we don't do away with too many people. Well, we do.
It comes in a rush towards the end, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But we've, we wanted at least one big set piece moment.
It's a romantic comedy, I feel. Myself.
Yeah,
it's a little bit boy meets girl.
Yeah.
And it's just a different way. Perhaps a more a Victorian country way of meeting.
Yeah.
Was that
totally. That's our take on it.
We don't go away to call it a rom-com, but definitely it has those elements. It's about a relationship. It's about several relationships.
Yeah.
You know, Reg and Sophie, played by Anna McGann, and the brothers, and that people working their shit out, and that's literally kind of as much our interest
as compost.
Compost,
compost, or you know, relationships can end up like that, can't they?
Yes, in a grinder.
In a grinder.
Yes, it's fertile ground.
So that's 100 bloody acres. I recommend people do see it when they get a chance. Nova's one of the few places that plays these sort of horror films, and particularly local stuff, which is great. And of course, Night Shift is a great program for MIFF that has a great selection. Look, it's got some Aussie stuff in there, including Patrick, which we spoke about off air. But we will chat again in a moment or two with the brothers. I was going to say the Brothers Grimm.
Go for it.
But I mean that in a good way, because I love the Grimm Brothers. I think they tell good tales of darkness. So this is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9.
I'm John O'Jarrett, geeked out from the United States of America, sends much love to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, the best LGBTQ radio show in all of Australia.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. In the studio, we have 100 bloody brothers. 100 bloody acres. Two brothers.
Two bloody brothers.
Talking about compost, people as compost, grinding things up. A little bit grindhouse, a little bit more grind garage or grind shed, out on the farm. Yeah. And, Cairns Brothers, it's great to have you here. Now, tell us what happens to 100 bloody acres after it's done a bit of a time here in Melbourne. Next?
Look, goes on to be an international sensation, just tying it in with the theme coming up in the A to Z.
Oh, yeah, very good. Thank you.
What's next? Well, for the film, look, it's been sold into a couple of territories in Europe. I think we've made a sale in the UK and Germany, so it'll get a release through Europe towards the end of the year. Plays at Fright Fest in London, which is the Film 4 Fright Fest, big festival there.
That is one of the famous ones.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. We'd love to go over. Mm. See if we can angle for a few bucks somehow to do that. and beyond that, we'll just sort of get cracking on the next project, I think.
Yeah. Mm. And can you tell us what that might be?
Yeah,
I might turn your mic on. That might help. Yeah, sorry, Cam.
That's all right. It's a crime caper comedy. So it's
crime caper.
It's not
all right.
So much a horror film this time, but it's still, you know, we're playing with genre and you know, having a good time with it, and having a bit of fun. It's a bit of a romp. It's got plenty of laughs and still got plenty of gore.
Mm. Will it be made in Australia?
Yeah,
you got folks here. You're good. That's good.
Yeah, no one wants us anywhere else. So.
Now I do love, I have to mention something about 100 Bloody Acres, and it's the soundtrack, you know, with the Slim Dusty, and it's got a good sing-along vibe. Do you find that audiences are starting to get into that? You've got audience participation happening?
Yeah, very much so. Maybe not so much the participation yet.
We haven't quite
reached the Rocky Horror status yet. But
I see it as a musical already. Yeah. I do, actually. Yeah. It's frightening, but musical.
I mean, we love our musicals, and I think obviously the music is a big, big part of this film.
Yeah.
From the songs they're listening to.
Are you guys country fans of Australian country music, or
not particularly?
We grew to love that stuff. And in researching the world that these characters would inhabit, we went out of our way to listen to all that stuff. And I actually have a real fondness for the music of Chad. I mean, Chad in particular, I think he's a really great unsung.
This is
hero.
Chad Morgan.
Chad Morgan. Mm. You know, Slim's great, but I think Chad is something really, really special about Chad.
We're going to have to find some Chad and play some.
I think he'd have been taken a lot more seriously if...
Oh, because there's the Morgan brothers. Is he related to the Morgan brothers in the film?
No.
No. But,
that was just a coincidence. We had the name before we sort of really delved into Australian country music. Mm. But yeah, we've grown to love it, for sure.
Right.
Well. And a bit of Brian Cadd, you know, class of 74.
Yeah.
Just timeless.
Yeah.
70s, 60s,
what's that one music that you play in the beginning when he's driving through and he finds a friend on the side?
Boyer Sisters.
That's a bizarre song, isn't it? I mean, it's beautiful, but it is.
Three part harmonies, three sisters. Yeah. They only made one album, I think. And
they won a talent quest or something.
Yeah.
Look, we're going right off topic.
But the music is a very special part of the film. It really is.
And it's funny, you know, when we screened it the other week in LA, it was funny. You know, there was a packed audience, mainly Americans, and after the screening, they were coming up to us and telling us how much they loved that music and where can they get their hands on the music and is there a soundtrack available?
Yeah,
and, they must find it a little exotic, I think. And,
it's sort of something familiar to them, but how come they don't know this stuff? It's like, these are very talented musicians and composers and they haven't heard of them, so I think there's potential to reach out to them.
Now they're part of a cult classic already. I can sense that with 100 Bloody Acres. Look, congratulations, both of you.
Thank you so
for a great film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's taken a year to meet you in the flesh. Flesh, not quite, but you know what I mean. And I can't get over the grinder, but it's worth seeing for that, folks. So if you get a chance on the 23rd, head on over to the Nova.
And
if
then it officially on released on the 1st of August at the Nova. So
yeah.
Have a run there, exclusive run.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good on them for doing that.
Yep.
Thank you, Colin.
Thanks, Sonia.
Colin and Cam.
Cheers.
Cans.
Thanks. Nice to
meet
you.
And Bailey. Sing quietly.
Yeah. Oh, well, I haven't seen the movie. I have no input on this. It's fascinating to listen, though.
I think Ralph will love it.
Oh, yeah.
Ralph. Friendly Ralph, the octopus there.
Oh, that's Ralph.
Let us know what Ralph thinks.
No, none of that. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy and 94.9. Now we've got an interview with Michelle Carey from MIF talking about something called Giallo. So that's coming up with the festival as well. Let's take a listen to that. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. This is on Joy 94.9, and we're going to be chatting to Michelle Carey, the artistic director of MIF, which is the Melbourne International Film Festival, due to be, I was going to say performed, I keep thinking of Goblin. It'll be running
it
in Melbourne.
On,
the 25th of July?
That's right.
I've got that date right.
You do. I've got that that date etched into my brain.
Into your brain. And we'll be talking about something quite unique that you will be having or playing at the festival, a particular segment of films, and that is the Giallo that you're doing. Tell us about that. It's called Shining Violence, Italian Giallo.
Giallo is sort of broadly considered to be a genre that was very popular in Italian cinema in the 60s and 70s. Mm. The word Giallo means yellow in Italian, and it was a very popular, cheap genre of fiction in Italy in the 20s and 30s, where they'd adapt sort of, they'd translate, you know, cheap airport sort of authors like Agatha Christie and so on into Italian, into these Giallo novels. And then in the 60s, I mean, we know there was sort of a rise in genre and horror and sort of sexy, saucy cult movies in the 60s with directors like Jess Franco in Spain and any sort of any number of filmmakers. And Italy is particularly interesting. These directors sort of came out in the 60s adapting these or making these genre films. Why it turned into such a huge success is really up for discussion. Mario Bava was the first one. He started making these films in the 60s. Mm. And then Dario Argento had a huge success with his film, The Bird with the Crystal Plumage, in 1968. And often what happens with any sort of cinema genre explosion is it just takes that one success for there to be just a huge myriad of copycats. So that's how Giallo started. There's certain directors who are very much associated with Giallo, Dario Argento, I think, being the number one.
He's probably the most well-known.
Yeah, he is. He was incredibly young when he started in the late 60s. Mm. He got his start actually screenwriting. He was a film critic, and then he was a screenwriter on The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Sergio Leone, for example.
Wonderful, yep.
And then he sort of moved into the 60s and 70s making Giallo, and then sort of into the 80s he moved on to more sort of straight horror. Mm. So Giallo, I guess, was most active in the 70s. It sort of lasted late 60s through the early 80s, which is where they're kind of that's the time span of our film program. Look, there's so many Giallos made, and I just remember I got into Giallo cinema about probably 15 years ago in the late 90s, just watching it. SBS used to run a lot of that.
You're answering all the questions.
I'm doing it all.
It's great. It's cool.
There you go. Just the one question interview. Yeah, and it's just been a style I've always wanted to put on the big screen and see on the big screen, and I thought this year was the perfect year to do it.
Timely. I think it's very timely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess what interests me, I mean, I like all sorts of cinema, but it's been great seeing the reaction to this because all the horror and genre buffs are loving it.
Yeah,
but I
they
think
would.
You know, there's something a little less lowbrow about Giallo than maybe some other sort of horror.
Mm.
And so I think it's got a broader appeal. You know, people who love European film of the 60s and 70s are excited about it. Obviously, there's a huge music angle in how amazing that Goblin are in town.
It was a great concert.
It was. We loved it. The thing about the Giallo film films is they're just incredibly beautiful. I mean, you know, I mean, without getting into the moral arguments about aestheticization of violence.
Yeah,
I mean,
depiction of women and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were incredibly stylish in their artistic design. The music is incredible. I mean, not only Goblin, you got Morricone and all sorts of really great Italian film composers at the time working in those films. And I just think they're going to play so well on the big screen. They're all in 35mm, wow. Which I think is a really unusual thing these days.
Yeah, it is. So it gives it that meaty sort of real feeling about what you're watching. You're watching cinema from a classic era from the 70s. And like you said, it's got the three things, I think, to it. Visuals, very classical Italian look, which I don't think any other culture could do. Secondly, the soundtrack, the sound effects too, the Foley artists and the inventive way they use that. And actually the third thing, which I don't know if you mentioned just then, but the makeup and props and the special effects, the gore.
Giallo, in a way, I mean, it really sort of paved the way for the great explosion of horror.
Slasher, in particular.
Slasher, exactly, in the late 70s into the 80s. And, you know, it's definitely making a comeback. And, you know, it's making a comeback aesthetically in terms of music. You've got bands like Midnight Juggernauts who really sort of draw on that music style as well. And also, when you mentioned sound before, let's not forget that unique Italian dubbing.
Did you see Barbarian Sound Studio?
I did. I loved it.
That was interesting, really atmospheric. And, you know, the soundtrack is wonderful. It is so like a homage, but it also takes it somewhere differently.
Yeah, it's a bit of a peek behind the curtains. And now I don't think I can watch any of these films without imagining like a pumpkin getting like smashed on the floor in the Foley.
And or stabbed rock melon or whatever they used for those. Yeah. That's the art that came through. And it's interesting to know filmmakers are going back to those sort of, looking at those sort of films and those sort of filming techniques. Chosen an Australian one, actually, or Australian, Italian, Spanish, The Pajama Girl Case. How did that come about?
Well, it's a film I've always been aware of. And
I have too, but I've never seen it.
Never seen it, exactly.
I've heard about it, blah, blah.
Amongst the programming circles, it was always sort of the idea was that there was no prints available and so on. So I was curious about that. And we did actually manage to find a print in Italy. I just thought you have to have some kind of connection. It may not go down in like the history of Giallo as one of those iconic Giallo films, but it's actually a really great film, and Sydney just looks incredible in it. I mean, just the blues of the sea, again, going back to that aesthetic, you know, the beautiful looking cinematography, the widescreen, the beach, and, you know, all those fabulous kind of 70s suits and so on against the Sydney.
Polyester, you know, shining in the sun, gets a bit warm. It would do in Sydney. Now, 1977, so it's an intriguing era for Australian cinema, and there are some great things that came out during that time.
Yeah. So I think it's still actually pretty much an Italian production. I'm sure they used some local crew when they were here, but I just thought it was such a curiosity. I was just thrilled to find a print of it, you know. And I think when you're putting together any sort of program, you know, you can't do a Giallo program without Deep Red, obviously.
Salve, I am Claudio Simonetti, the Goblin keyboard player, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And we'll go back to the interview I had with Michelle Carey, the artistic director at MIF, talking about all things Italian horror and Giallo.
But, you know, you want to sort of throw in a few films people haven't seen before. Yeah. So maybe something like the House of the Laughing Windows. They're not, they're not those sort of iconic Giallo horror films, but they're made by quite famous directors working in the Giallo genre, which I think is really interesting as well. So that's something else we did in this program.
No, I'm looking forward to that. It's like they've borrowed a lot from, I think, Alfred Hitchcock, I think, was a big influence on some of them.
Yeah.
But turned it into
Psycho, I think, just watching Psycho again recently reminded me how much of an influence on Giallo that was. Just the other thing with Giallo, there's so many different ways to play with Giallo, but generally the plot is usually sort of this, you know, some crimes happened against women, as you say, and so some innocent person goes in as sort of an amateur detective to try and work out what's happening, and there's always this figure in the background, usually with like very sexy black leather gloves and a big trench coat and a hat. And sometimes some of the films, like I know with the Bird with the Crystal Plumage, it's actually revealed, you know, the killer is actually a woman. And I think that something like Psycho has a big influence on those sort of denouements or, you know, endings or reveals in Giallo as well. So definitely Hitchcock in there.
Quickly, did you have anything to do with the night shift programming as well?
Not so much. That's really sort of looked after by Al Kosar, who's our programmer. I've certainly seen a bunch of them and they're great. They're very varied. There's horror, but there's more sort of psychological thriller
and even divine.
Divine, absolutely.
I am divine, which will do very well, I think, with our listeners.
What a filthy character she is.
Filthy and famous. It's wonderful. All right, look, anything else you want to add, Michelle?
Oh, gosh, look, not really. I look just, you know, love to see people out there take a punt on something maybe you don't know about. Mm. You know, get out there and be raucous, enjoy the films for what they are, be in the cinema.
What would you recommend if someone first-timer was going to see a giallo? What would be the best one to start
with? Well, as long as they have an understanding, there's going to be a little bit of blood.
Blood. And the blood
is knives.
Pretty outrageous. The blood is so bright red.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think Tenebrae is pretty amazing.
A good start.
Deep red, I guess, is a good start. I mean, I guess you have to start from there, don't they?
Go for an Argento. Mm, excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much for talking to us tonight here on Sci-Fi and Scream. Michelle Carey, the Artistic Director for MIF. And you can go to their website, of course, which is
mif.com.au.
And find out more. And it runs from July 25th to
the 11th of August.
Thanks for finishing
17 days. Don't worry, I've got that date in my head as well.
It's ingrained. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for talking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you.
Of horror
with Bailey for Horror Virgins
only on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Hey everyone.
Hey Bailey.
Yep. All right.
The A to Z's back.
Yep. No, we're back. It's been a while.
It's been about a month, probably.
Yeah.
Yep. Live will take it.
Yeah.
Take it or live it.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Oh, live it.
Live it.
No, we're not talking about that movie tonight. No, we're up to I.
Yeah,
we're up
go
to
for
I.
It.
And we're doing international horror. And we had a very minor dispute before the show on what constitutes international horror. And basically, I decided on anything that's not natively spoken in English would be good for this one. I reckon that's a good one. So...
Well,
why are you smiling?
I'm smiling because I'm happy.
All right.
It's been a horrific night in a good way.
Yep.
Like, there's been lots of horror chat, you know.
I like it.
Boys from 100 Bloody Acres and Michelle from downstairs and MIF, because they're in the same building as Joy 94.9, talking about giallo, Italian horror films. So, hey, it's been fun.
Yep.
And now it's your turn.
All right, yeah.
To shine.
Yep. All right. So, we'll go straight in. So, we're starting with French horror.
Ooh,
right.
Okay.
Yep. And one of my absolute favorites. This movie single-handedly restored my faith in modern slasher movies.
Ooh. Ooh, what's the tension here?
No, I'm building
here?
Up. I'm building. Yeah, it's very.
You're building.
Yeah. Very. It's called Haut Tension, aka High Tension. Oh yes. Yep. AKA Switchblade Romance.
I think that was the American name for it, wasn't it? When they released it there.
Really dodgy. Really dodgy title. But anyway, it's directed by Alexandre
Aja.
Aja, exactly. And if you know that name, then you probably know that he also directed the Hills Have Eyes remake.
And
one of my
guilty pleasures.
Go on.
Piranha 3D.
Oh.
Sorry, but I actually really enjoyed that, and that's wrong. Sorry.
Yep.
Your turn. Go for it.
No. Okay, so High Tension is an extremely graphically violent... it's a slasher, but it's also kind of got this psychological sort of
thing
going for it.
Yeah, well, it's got lots of twists in it. Mm. It's got Philip, what's his name? Mahon Cajon, who has been in various films, including Gaspar Noé films, you know, Irreversible, films like that. We have discussed that way back many moons ago in Sci-Fi and Scream. However, here we go.
Yeah.
High tension.
It starts... It's very slow at the start. I mean, as much as I love it, it could maybe go a little bit... It could have a faster pace at the start, but once it gets off, it just rockets straight towards the moon. Not literally, because this is mostly set in reality.
Yeah, it's got an interesting twist, but Do we want to spoil it?
We don't want to spoil it. But no, it's very light on the scares, but it's outrageously heavy on the violence. I really can't overstate how much violence there is in this movie. It's extreme.
Yeah, the special effects are wonderful, and I think that really works well when you see 100 Bloody Acres. There's a real wonderful, sort of extreme sort of work. And this is part of the new wave of French horror that has been out since the late 90s, mid to late 90s, and you've got some great films in there and directors from that era.
In terms of years, High Tension, aka Haut Tension, came out in 2003.
And it's got Cécile Defosse, and she's gorgeous.
Oh, yes, amazing.
Now, the thing is, are you going to mention the twist, of course, for our community?
No.
That it's lesbian movie?
Yes, it
is. Well, it has lesbian characters.
It's a lesbian romance movie. Yes.
I laugh because it is, it's not everybody's cup of tea. We do not condone violence, of course. And, of course, we're not saying that lesbians are that way.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
No, of course
not. It's just a movie, people.
It's just a movie. Yep. Okay, but moving on from High Tension, we're staying in France for a fair while, actually. I've got four movies on my list tonight, and three of them are from France.
Well, you see, that's the impact France has had.
Yep.
And in the background, you can probably hear something that might be familiar to you.
It's
from Chitane, or Satan, which is a French film from that new wave of French horror. And it has the amazing Vincent Cassel, or Mr. Monica Bellucci,
I don't think I know this movie. I'm going to have to add it.
You're going to have to add it. It's pretty gory.
Yeah. All right. But moving on.
Yes.
Another French movie, 2007's Inside. And it has a French title, but I can't pronounce it.
I have not seen this.
It's fantastic.
À l'intérieur.
That's it.
So why have you chosen that one? Why would you recommend it?
Well,
because it's pretty violent, I believe.
It's not just violent, but it's sick and it's twisted. And have you ever seen a movie where it's so vivid and so realistic and so upfront you could taste it?
It was a French horror film, a French new wave extreme film, and it was actually Irreversible, which I don't want to talk about because it's too upsetting.
But
violence.
About three quarters of the way through Inside, I could taste the movie. It was so...
You've got to stop licking the screen.
I'm not licking anything.
Not screen licking.
There's no screen here. I don't see a screen.
No, not that screen. Your screen when you watch the movie.
Oh, yes.
So who's in this and why have you chosen it?
As
an intro for A to Z.
Okay, I'll admit I didn't actually write down who's in it.
Oh, it's got Beatrice Dahl. You can't go past Beatrice Dahl.
Oh, very good.
From, of course, Betty Blue way back in the 80s. Classic film. And, I mean, if she hasn't been in most horror films in the last 25, 30 years, it's just her look, her sensibility and her style.
The acting is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very... You know that the main character, the main woman, she's very vulnerable. And I will say that it's vulnerable. She's vulnerable because she's she's pregnant. She's due for birth the next day. Like, they're going to, I don't know the word, but they activate. Like, they start, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, don't worry if you don't have it.
They're going to make her give birth to the baby tomorrow.
Induce it.
Yes, induce labor. Induce labor. That's the word. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, so what's your third one?
Third one, all right. We're going to skip French for a minute, and we're going to let the right one in.
Oh, yes, the Swedish original.
Yep, the original, not the American remake.
Based on the book,
And it was made in 2008, directed by Thomas Alfredson. And the strange thing about Let the Right One In is it's kind of a horror romance with kids, you know? And when I say kids, I mean teenagers, like maybe 14, 15. Yeah, it's really nice. Like, as strange as it sounds, it can be a little bit violent.
Yeah.
And it's very disturbing and creepy, but it's also bizarrely sweet at the same time.
Yeah, so why would you say to a person, try this out if you want foreign
films? Because it's unique, you know? I like to think that the movies that I would recommend on this show are... there's something unique about them, whether they're, you know, a big impact or they have something special in the movie. But I think this movie is just a nice special. It's fairly slow-paced. It's not heavy on the violence. I don't think it has any outright scares.
Yeah.
It's got maybe some tension, but it's mostly just about these two kids, one of which is a vampire. And they just get to know each other, and it's just...
Well, it's about bullying as well.
Yeah, it
is. A kid that he befriends, this vampire, who's also in a child form, he's been bullied at school, and so there's all about that kind of feeling of rejection and isolation, which I think we can all relate to, especially
definitely.
In our community.
Absolutely.
And our community feeling, you know, abused and rejected. It's
Yep.
It comes out in all different ways, and in this way it comes out extreme. But okay, so what's your
final? I'm not going to the next movie just yet, but I will say that the title, Let the Right One In, it refers to this old vampire story where vampires cannot enter your house unless you invite them.
Invite the right one in.
Exactly.
Sounds like an Anne Rice movie. Or a book, I should say.
Now, I'm glad I left this to the end when we don't have very much time, because the last movie, but going back to French, is Martyrs.
Oh, yeah.
Released in 2008 by Pascal Lau. Okay, look, I'm not good with French names. Sonia?
Pascal Legere.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't like this movie very much, but it's got a massive hype behind it.
Yeah. It's got a massive cult following.
Exactly.
Now too.
I mean, it's massive.
It has beautiful women in it, beautiful actresses, as per usual.
It's extremely violent, extremely sick and twisted, less sick and twisted than Inside, I would say. But basically, if you like the torture porn subgenre, like Hostel, Saw, things like that, Martyrs is pretty much the ultimate.
It's better than that. I think it's got that psychological twist to it.
Absolutely.
And very heavy on the Catholicism. If you're coming from a Catholic background, you might, and you're a non-Catholic practicing person, you might appreciate it, but it's pretty, let's just say, graphic.
It's very,
French would say.
I mean, personally, I don't like it that much, but I can see why
you
people
gotta watch
do.
It.
Yeah,
it's a one-off.
It's one of those movies that you have to watch whether you like it or not, you know.
Okay,
yep, all right.
Well,
cool.
Bailey, A to Z, it's like those are some of your international.
Yep, I think so. Yep,
that's quite a few heavy hitters there, and there are so many more. We will put them on the Facebook page of Sci-Fi and Scream. What do you reckon?
I reckon I'll have a better think about it later tonight and chuck them up on the Facebook.
You're going to have heaps more pop into your head now. I mean, I've got Calvary, of course, Irreversible, Frontiers. Oh, look, there's just so many, and they all seem to be French extreme, so good on the French. Vive la France, and we didn't wish everybody happy Bastille Day, because that was actually on Sunday, so happy late July the 14th. Bastille, everyone.
Yep.
Okay, this is Sci-Fi and Scream. Thanks, Bailey.
Thank
A to Z.
Yep.
What's next on A to Z?
Actually, sticking with the international theme, Japan.
J.
Just Japan.
J horror.
Yep.
Cool. Sounds good. Stick around, people. Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hello. This is Lawrence R. Harvey, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Right, it's 9:18. We're headed down into the cellar where the door's just opened on its own. Give us a sign that you want to communicate with us.
What are you guys?
Well, we've been called ghost hunters, paranormal researchers.
But we prefer to be known simply as Ed and Lorraine Warren.
There's someone here that would like to talk to you.
There's something horrible happening in my house.
It's November 1st, 1971. I'm sitting here with Carolyn Perrin, who, with her family, has been experiencing supernatural occurrences.
You picking up anything in here, hon?
Something awful happened here, Ed.
What is it?
Whatever Lorraine sees, feels, touches, it takes a toll on her. A little piece each time.
You have a lot of spirits in here, but there's one that I'm most worried about because it is so hateful. We have to get out of here.
That's not gonna help.
This thing has latched itself to your family.
Father, we never seen nothing like this.
I'm coming with you.
No way. I can't lose you.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream
on Joy 94.9.
A possession. Ghosts. Things that go bump in the night. That's The Conjuring. Yes, The Conjuring is coming out very soon. It's the James Wan film that a lot of us have been waiting for, especially Bailey the studio here. Bailey from the A to Z.
I've been dying
here on Sci-Fi
to see this movie.
All right. Now, what is The Conjuring all about? It is the upcoming American/Australian, I should say, supernatural horror film directed by James Wan, of course, of Saw fame. And it stars the wonderful Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, he's adorable with his sideburns, as Ed and Lorraine Warren, paranormal investigators who come to assist a family called the Perron family, who are having some disturbing things happening in their Rhode Island home back in the 70s. So, Bailey, kick it off.
Yeah. Well, where do we start?
Well, you better start sometime.
Oh, I don't know.
All right. No, I want to get your take on it, and we can look at the Warren family too if we do have a little bit of time before
Hopefully.
Woman in Sci-Fi. But basically, they are investigators, Ed and Lorraine Warren. They have a daughter, and they do their best to, I guess, eliminate things that do go bump in the night, poltergeist.
And the day. They do fair bump in the day a
They're
lot.
They're a 24-hour unit. They're like a 1970s polyester suit, bell-bottom wearing, and suit and tie, ghost-busting pair, basically.
Yeah.
Spending a lot of time away from home, but they do lectures. You see them doing lectures at universities and
Which
various places.
Which I like.
Places.
That kind of, you know, it gives you a sort of a more realistic portrayal of these people.
Yeah, they seem characters. Quite real. And so they go to help this family. Now, Patrick Wilson and that's Vera Farmiga as Ed and Lorraine Warren go to assist Lily Taylor, who's Carolyn Perron, and Ron Livingston, who plays Roger Perron, and their five, not one, not two, but five daughters who are getting harangued by something that is inhabiting inhabiting their home that they've moved into.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's got a great soundtrack, and that was The Zombies, by all things, time of the season, that song we played a bit earlier. So that's in the soundtrack. So I did enjoy the soundtrack. But, okay, so what do you want to say about this film?
Well,
Bailey,
I've been looking forward to this movie for a very, very long time. And
apparently.
Yeah, well, I really like James Wan, you know?
Yeah.
I loved him. I loved Saw and all his other movies, but no, we're talking about The Conjuring.
Mm.
And basically, I've been hyped up for this movie for probably 4 or 5 months, and it did not disappoint.
Okay. So what was good about it? You have to sum it up.
Okay. Well, there's some faults with it. There's some very minor flaws at the start. Like, the pacing's a little bit dodgy. It's just a bit too fast.
We will have spoilers. That's just one of the things on Sci-Fi and Scream. If there's going to be spoilers, they're spoilers.
Yep. It just happens.
Yep.
It's just a movie. Live with it.
So the pace, not
pacing's
happy with that?
A little bit. It's a bit too fast. But once it kind of nestles into its sort of rhythm, it gets a lot better.
Yep.
No,
but, and what else?
But what else? What else? Lily Taylor, who was Lorraine.
Yes.
I think that was the character's name.
Yes. No, Carolyn.
No?
No. Lorraine is the investigator, played by Vera Farmiga.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Lily Taylor's the mother.
The mother,
the
The mother in the haunted house.
Yes, mother.
Her
performance,
made the movie. Like, it was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing.
Yep. And?
And what? No, there's nothing else to say about that. That's amazing. No, not really.
Right.
No. But, there's a lot of hype that this movie is scary as hell. And, it kind of lives up to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty terrifying.
Hmm, interesting. All right.
Did you not think so?
Well, my thoughts and impressions on this new James Wan is, look, Insidious disappointed me a lot. I just thought, you're making a movie about my favourite movies, and to me, you're doing something I don't really need to see. But that was Insidious. I've moved on.
Yep.
I am prepared to go and sit and watch it again, Bailey, thanks to you, because, you know, I actually do take some of your opinions with large pieces of salt.
Okay.
A few grains or two. But I found this comical. I actually found this quite amusing. Not in a bad way. Not like they were trying to, like it was an accident to make it funny.
Oh, yeah.
I found it quite warm and fuzzy and comical in ways that it made me feel comfortable about who I am and what I think about paranormal activities, not the movies, because we won't even go there, but, you know, what I think about the supernatural, what I think about haunted houses, all those sort of things that people are getting really interested in now, and we seem to have more movies, coming back and back. It's almost like a revisit of the 70s.
Yeah,
I find it really amusing. So I loved it for the period it was set in, the 70s. I felt it was a celebration of one and a scrutinisation of the 70s, perhaps, or maybe that was a happy accident. It did remind me of Argo, the Oscar winner from last year, yeah. Beth Affleck. Just the look and the graininess, the way it was filmed. It felt like 35mm. This is not an Oscar winner, though. It's just not scary enough for me, and I found it wasn't serious enough for me. But I did find it like a little delightful peekaboo back into another time when people did really believe there were such things as haunted houses, that people did actually probably think the Warrens were onto something. Because remember, these were people that were most well known for their involvement in the Amityville Horror investigation in New York. Yeah. Very famous, of course, that house. The Amityville Horror was made into several films and, of course,
a
was
remake.
Recently incarnated as a remake. Yeah. They were involved in even a werewolf demon back in 83. Apparently that happened.
Wow.
There was a Smurl.
A what?
A Smurl, which is a mixture of smells and apparitions, are called Smurls, apparently, and these are spirits that stink.
Okay.
And occupy homes. I just thought it was bad drains, but anyway.
Hmm.
Look, I just didn't find this very spooky, but I did find it to be well-made, well-crafted. I love the period it was set in. I think it was a bit of a metaphor about a woman like Lily who, quite frankly, five girls, that's got to be tough, all under the age of 14,
yeah.
15.
That's
got to be hard. In the 70s too,
but
absent
not only that,
husband,
yeah.
a truck driver. You had a sense that there's the economic problems there with the fuel shortages in the early 70s and the Nixon era. He's not around much, so she's alone in that house quite a lot. And I felt for her, and I must admit, you know, there's no bra burning for this woman. She's stuck at home alone in Rhode Island. The house is creepy. The house is creaky. It looks cold and damp, and it looks really run down. And he's gone off to go truck driving and, well, left with these girls who are playing this horrible game of hide and seek. I mean, I would be driven crazy, and all she's doing is folding, washing, chasing these girls, trying to keep them entertained. Thank God for video games. That's all I can say many years later. But to me, it's about the 70s, and it's about the people who maybe got left behind in the 70s.
I can see
she
that.
Doesn't seem liberated. And hey, look, I'm giving it 4 out of 5 for Lily Taylor's performance alone as the mother,
yeah.
Carolyn, who, spoiler, does get a little bit on the possessed side. She does a great job.
She's got a case of the demons.
A case of the demon runs. Oh, sorry. Yeah, but she's wonderful. But out of scariness and frights, sorry, 1 out of 5. What about you?
Wow, that's
disappointing. What are you going to give it out of 5?
I'm not going to do the 1 out of 5 thing. I'm going to grade it.
Oh, really?
I'm going to say the movie overall, including, you know, all of its flaws and all of its, you know, great
pieces.
Acting, all of its goodness. I'm going to give it a B+.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A B+.
Yeah.
Don't give it a something out of 5.
No.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I just felt like doing something different. If you want an out of 5, let's go 3.5.
No, look, a lot of fun, this film. And go and see it. It's out everywhere very soon through Roadshow Pictures. Out everywhere.
Definitely
seriously.
Go see it. Yep. Go see it soon, because seeing it in a packed theatre, there's lots of giggles, there's lots of like murmurs.
And popcorn being flung.
Yeah. No, it's scary, but it's also very fun.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's a good one. Like I said, giving it a good score, I think, for what it is. It's written by Chad Hayes, Carrie Hayes, they're obviously related. Directed by James Swan, produced by Tony DeRosa-Grand, Peter Safran, and Rob Cohen. Music is wonderful. It's by Joseph Bishara, but you can't beat Goblin, although I would love to have seen Goblin, and out through the studio New Line Cinema. Distributed by Warner Brothers. Fantastic. All right, that's The Conjuring, out this Thursday, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy in 94.9. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy in 94.9. And very soon we will have Women in Sci-Fi. We'll have Women in Sci-Fi 1950s. Now, there are so many great films from the 1950s. And just looking at ones, for example, like The Flying Saucer 1950, Rocket Ship XM, which actually has a woman scientist, The Day That Earth Stood Still with the wonderful Patricia Neal, also known as Mrs. Roald Dahl. She plays a woman that protects Gort and protects the aliens, of course, that have invaded the planet. It's all a homage to the 1950s. 1950s when we're looking at the Soviet era and, of course, the Cold War. Of course, the Cold War with spaceships. But there's ones that are so typically out there and outrageous, and that is Catwoman of the Moon, 1953, which astronauts travel to the moon where they discover it's inhabited by attractive young women in black tights. Of course it is. They don't look like cats, but they have very interesting eyebrow development all over their face, and the costumes are fantastic. Zsa Gabor is a woman on the moon as well. 1958, we've got Project Moon Base, and of course Devil Girl from Mars in 1954, because an uptight leather-clad female alien cannot be trusted, especially when she's armed with a ray gun, and those poor earthling men, they've got a lot to deal with there. The Day the World Ended, 1955, is apparently about women bringing the end of the world because there's too many scientists in the laboratory that are female, and it's a post-apocalyptic adventure by Roger Corman. You can't go wrong with Roger Corman, of course. We've covered him before. And of course, my most favourite would be Forbidden Planet in 1956. A starship crew goes to investigate the silence of a planet's colony, only to find two survivors. And that's got Walter Pidgeon and the wonderful Anne Francis. And of course, that robot. But there's so much more wonderful stuff from the 50s. And unfortunately, we will do a podcast, especially for part three of Women in Sci-Fi. And thanks to Jerry out on reception, we had a great message. Hi, Sonia and Bailey. Really enjoying the horror chat tonight. On the subject of international horror, they've said their favourite is Imprint by Takashi Miike. Andy in Reservoir. Thank you so much, Andy. And thank you to everyone else who messaged tonight. Thanks to the Can Brothers. Thanks to Nova. Thanks to Kathy and Bailey for the A to Z.
Thanks for having me.
Next week, we have a new section. It's called The Reader.
Ooh.
With Kevin Reeder from the Cubby House.
What a coincidence.
On Joy 94.9. Yes, and he'll be looking at fantasy fiction from a queer angle. So look forward to that. Plus
Fantastic.
Our review of Patrick and I Am Divine, which are both going to be...
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.